Well, this morning we are going to be looking at reconciling people to one another. We have been working through a sermon series this summer called Who Are We? City Hope Fellowship Vision and Values. And what we've been talking about is who we are as a church and our values. And if this is your first week joining us, we have a sheet in the back that you can pick up on your way out that has our mission statement, our vision statement, and our values. So this is kind of what we've been preaching through this summer. And each of our value statements is an and statement. It has two parts to it. And we want to kind of live within the tension of these two parts. And so each week we've been taking just one half of these vision statements. And so last week we were looking at reconciling people to God, and this week we're looking at reconciling people to one another. Before that we did Jesus-centered and Holy Spirit-dependent. And so all of those sermons are actually recorded and online, so if you missed a week, you can look back. We have a podcast on iTunes, or if you go to our website, you can see our sermons listed in the website as well. But this morning, we're talking about reconciliation, reconciling people to one another. And everywhere you look today, it seems like we are increasingly divided as a culture. No matter what it is, if I can name one thing, I can probably show you someone who disagrees so vehemently and strongly in the opposite extreme. It's all over the place. Over issues of gender, let's say. Men and women fighting against one another, divided in personal situations and in policy issues. How about race divisions in our country? Right? These are things that for a long time people thought, man, we've solved this stuff. That's not true. Not even close. Not even close. We never did. But new things are rehashing old wounds in our nation's history. How about politics? Do you think we're a little divided on politics? Right? If we represent the political spectrum in America by the colors red and blue, there is zero purple in the world of America right now. There's only dark red and dark blue. Money. School system. The way you educate people, right? Everyone is so divided. I mean, even to things like eating. Eating meat versus being a vegan. I mean, they're as divided and as strong in their positions as ever. Right? We live in this world that produces division. What could possibly heal our divisions? Right? Isn't that what we long for? We long for a place in which we can disagree with someone and still be loved. We long for a place in which we can have strong opinions but still be friends. What will it cost to create this? You know, I think one of the reasons why we don't pursue that is because we're afraid. We're really afraid, which is why we divide. It's easier to divide and be with people like you, and it's more terrifying to enter into a place where there are people not like you who think different from you. Will they accept me? Will they love me? What will it cost me to do that? What will I lose if I do that? Friends, let's bring this home to City Hope. What will we lose if we pursue this vision of being a multi-ethnic, diverse community? What will we lose if we pursue reconciliation like that? Maybe some of you are thinking that or feeling that. But I want to flip the question. What will we lose if we don't pursue this with our whole lives? If we don't pursue this kind of reconciliation, what are we giving up? And I want to argue this morning that we're giving up the very intention of God for his body, which is a weighty thing to give up. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at what does it look like for us to pursue this with our whole lives. And so we're going to look at four things this morning. First, that we are the body of Christ. Second, that we cannot exclude ourselves from the body of Christ. Third, that we cannot exclude others from the body of Christ. And then finally, that we must reconcile to one another in the body of Christ. So the first thing we're going to look at is that we are the body of Christ. So we see this in various passages in this, or various parts of this text. And really, I thought for a long time about which text to choose this morning. In dealing with reconciliation, I've preached on Ephesians 2 before, and that is available on our website, particularly looking at racial reconciliation. So if you want a more in-depth of that specific area, we're going to broaden it a little bit this morning, but more in-depth, please check out our website for that. But two parts in this section that just declares that we are the body of Christ. Verse 12 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. It's just an assumed thing that there is this thing called the body of Christ, and that we are the members of it. This is Paul talking to a church in the first century, and he is writing to them, and he is assuming that they are a part of this body, the church. We see it also in verse 27. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Friends, we've been looking at, in God's providence, we started this sermon series, or at least the values portion of it, with Christ-centered. And then we said, if you get Jesus, the second week, right, we said, you get his spirit. It's a package deal. If you get Jesus, you get his spirit. And last week we said, if you get Jesus, you get his spirit and his mission. It's a package deal. Here's the fourth part of that. If you get Jesus, you get his spirit, you get his mission, you get his body. It's a package deal. It's a package deal. You cannot take just one of these things. You cannot take just Jesus. You must take them all. Because what it looks like to be reconciled to God through Jesus is this. God has designed it in a specific way. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not a part of a local church, you can't really be saved by Jesus. However, before we move too quickly off of that, I will say that the New Testament knows nothing of someone who is committed and following Jesus and not connected intimately to a body of believers called the local church. And church history knows nothing of any argument towards not being involved in a local church until the last, 100 years, maybe. So that's not great ground to stand on. So friends, this is why this is so important. This is why we decided not to plant an evangelistic movement downtown or a mercy ministry downtown, but a church. Because those that are reconciled to God are therefore reconciled to one another in this thing called the body of Christ. And it's a package deal, and you get both. You get both. And I know that that's hard, because in our culture, right, we say things like, well, it's just easier if I'm not around people, right? I grow better to be more like Jesus when I'm not around people, because then I can do my own thing, right? And we live in this podcast culture where you can podcast your favorite pastor, which I think is a great thing, but you can do that in replacement of being with real people on a Sunday morning. Friends, you will not grow more like Jesus apart from people. And I'm going to show you that this morning in this passage, that God has arranged the parts of the body intentionally, diversely, to cause us growth. When's the last time growth was something that was like super comfortable and easy, right? If you're working out and everything's comfortable and easy, you continue to look like what you were looking like, right? That's why I never really figured out working out very well, right? Because it hurts and I don't like it, so I'm done, right? It's just way easier to not do that, right? If there's no pain or conflict, there's no growth. Friends, being a part of the body of Christ will cause conflict and pain for sure. That's how we grow to be more like Jesus. So you are a part of the body of Christ if you are trusting in Jesus this morning. It's not an option. It's whether or not you engage and be a part of a local body, right? And so we could talk about the church universally, right? That God's, that Christ's body is a universal thing that stretches across all ages and all places. However, what Paul is talking about when he says you are the body of Christ, he's speaking of something that looks like this. This is a body of Christ. He's speaking about a local body where you know people, where you are a part of, where you are known, cared for, and held accountable. This is what we're talking about. Ephesians 4 says it similarly. It says, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all." There is a unity and a oneness to the body of Christ that's very important. So, the next question is, who is a part of that body? If we are the body of Christ, who is a part of that body? Well, anyone who trusts in Jesus is a part of that body. But Paul goes into some specifics here, right? The context of which we're placing this passage is we're picking up in a conversation about spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians, this letter that Paul wrote, is him answering a series of questions that the church had. So they had questions about different things. There was some stuff going on in Corinth. I'm really glad I'm not called to pastor the church in Corinth. I'm called to pastor the church at Muncie City Hope Fellowship because Corinth was pretty jacked up. just for now, yeah. Yep, I pray it happens. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Corinth is pretty intense, okay? And so they had a lot of questions, and they're asking Paul for these, what's going on here, and asking all these questions. And so one of the questions they're asking is about orderly worship. What does it look like on Sunday morning when we gather together? And they're kind of crazy over here. Like, they're taking communion. People are getting drunk. It's like, this is not good, guys. Like, we gotta deal with some things here. But they're also asking about spiritual gifts. This is the context of this. And so many times, often, when you've heard this passage, you may have, if you've heard a sermon on this passage, you've probably heard it in the context of we are all gifted differently, right? And so when it's talking about the body, it's like, so there are some who are like ears, or some who are like eyes, some who are like mouth. And even church fathers previously would say that these are sort of allegorical for different parts of the body in terms of gifts. So like the pastor is like the mouth and things like that, right? You may have heard that before. Now that's a fair reading of this passage, but I think there's something actually a little bit more to this that Paul kind of slides in, right? In different gifts is definitely true. That's definitely happening here. But Paul sort of slides in verse 13, he says, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. That's something different. What's he saying here? Well, Jew and Gentile, what does that mean? That means there are differences in race and ethnicity. So Jew and Gentile, if you're coming to the Bible, Jew and Gentile are the two kinds of people in the world. There are only two kinds of people in the world, according to the Bible, Jew and Gentile, right? So Jew would be ethnically Jewish, but also specifically geared towards the people of God, right? God called Abraham out of pagan worship into worshiping him and created out of that a nation, the Jewish nation, which had God's very presence dwelling with them, God's unique presence. But already we see in the foundation of Israel, through Abraham, God says, I'm going to use you and you're going to be a blessing to all nations. God was choosing one people to bless all peoples. All right? So from the very get-go, God was not about isolating Israel for the sake of itself, but isolating Israel to use it in his mission to save the world. But everyone who was not a Jew was a Gentile. Now, there were differences in Gentiles, but Gentile is more of an overarching category for those who are not Jewish, right? So, now, it is helpful for us to think about Jew-Gentile when you see that distinction, to think about racial and ethnic differences among people groups. That God has arranged the world in such a way that we are different and not the same. We are different and not the same. We're going to talk a lot more about this. This is what Paul is saying, is that this is present in Corinth. Different races and ethnicities present in Corinth. Then he says, slave or free. Now, at different times throughout history, the church has used passages of scripture that speak about slavery to justify slavery. To justify, in our nation, our context, race-based slavery. That is not what this is. That is not what this is, and is unjustifiable from the scriptures. What this is we have to understand the first century context. 70% of the world were slaves in the first century. Right? 70%. Because they didn't have things like economic systems in which you could take out a loan or get a credit card and all those things. If you owed someone money, you became their slave to pay it off. And then you were released. This was, or the other context of slavery was when a nation conquered another nation, they would take people from that nation into slavery. And they would make them work as they were conquered peoples. But it was not an institutionalized race-based slavery like was present in this nation. And even if you look at the scriptures, even this passage, there is a hint of the transforming power of the gospel to destroy the institution of slavery. This is not a justifying, well, because he says some are slaves, then that's totally fine, right? Paul elsewhere says, if you can seek your freedom, do it. It's better to be free. And also, in Paul's letter to Philemon, who was a slave owner, to a guy named Onesimus, Onesimus had escaped, and Philemon has him, Paul has him, and sends him back and says, greet him like you would me, as a brother. Starting to undermine the very institution of slavery and transform the culture, broadly speaking. So any place in which the Bible has been used to justify those things is a misreading of Scripture and is inherently sinful and a black spot upon the bride of Christ, a black eye on the bride of Christ, that we would do this. It's not good. So, but what this is saying then, how do we apply that to today? What does this mean, slave or free then, right? This is very different economic situations, right? If 70% of folks are slaves, right, and only 30% are free then, right, you're talking about big differences in economics. This is rich and poor. That's what this is. This is varying degrees of economic ability as a person or as a family. That's what this is saying. Both of those are present. We have the hourly employee and the salaried professional. We have the blue collar and the white collar. We have those who cannot make it on their own and those who have more than enough means. That's what the body of Christ in Corinth looked like. So along with different gifts that God has granted, we have different races and ethnicities. Along with different races and ethnicities, we have different economic backgrounds. That's a whole lot of diversity. That's a whole lot of diversity. All present in this local body we call the body of Christ. Now, why would Paul mention that in the midst of this? Why does he bring this up here? Well, I think if we look back to Ephesians chapter 3, it says this, God's purpose in all this, all this meaning what he's been talking about in Ephesians, which has been Jew-Gentile relationships, right? He's been talking for a long time, Paul has in Ephesians, about Jew and Gentile relationships, these racial and ethnic relationships together in the body of Christ. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Friends, when Christianity came on the scene, no one knew what to do with it. Religions had always been relegated to ethnic, racial people groups. There was nothing like this. They didn't know what to call them. So they eventually started calling them Christians after the Christ that they worshiped. Because there was no way to categorize these people. We don't know who they are. How do they get all of these different people together? Right? It's only within the last few hundred years, at least in our experience in America, in which the church has not been the most diverse thing that the world has ever seen. Globally and historically, this is what it was. Jew and Gentile together, rich and poor together. This is massively important for us as a body. We're going to continue to talk about this as we move forward. But moving on to our second point, we cannot exclude ourselves from the body. So in verses 14 through 17, Paul begins to lay out this analogy. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Friends, if you've ever thought, well, because I'm not as gifted as that person, there's no place for me. Because I fear speaking in front of people, there's not a place for me. Well, guess what? You're in the majority. I'm in the minority. Most people are afraid to speak in front of other people. They're more afraid of that than death, I think. So I think statistically that's true. And so, but if you've ever thought, man, there's just not a place for me in the church. If people knew my background, they wouldn't want me there. There's not a place for me because I don't look like or act like the people here. There's not a place for me because this is a historically white, wealthy Southern denomination. That's who we are, right? Historically. But if you're here and you're thinking, man, there's not a place for me because of that, that's not true. We desperately need you. You are valuable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the King of the universe. And if you are trusting in Jesus, you have been redeemed by his precious blood to be a part of his body. You cannot exclude yourself from the body. You are valuable. And we, this body, desperately needs you. God has arranged all the parts. God sovereignly designed this local body. I'm going to choke. I need a drink. God sovereignly divined this local body. Oh, boy. Sorry. I should have moved a little bit more. That's going to sound really good on the recording. Somebody's going to be working out, listening to this record. Ugh, just like fall to the ground, that noise. But you are valuable and necessary, and we need you, and you need others. That leads us to our next point. We cannot exclude others from the body. Verses 18 to 20. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Excuse me. All right. Friends, if Christ has welcomed someone into his body, we have no place to exclude them. If you are a part of the body, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body. If you are trusting in Jesus, that's your position, and we have no right to exclude you from the body. Amen. Apart from a series of discipline for sin, right? That's very clearly laid out, and Paul actually does lay out in this passage, or in this book, how that would happen. But based on nothing that you have done or said or consistently and habitually hurt one another in, there is no exclusion from the body. We want to be as exclusive as Jesus is. All who come must come through Jesus. And we want to be as inclusive as Jesus is. Any who come through Jesus are welcome here. Friends, you are not supreme, and you do not get to decide who is welcomed by the Lord any more than you decided on your own biological family. This is ironic. I wrote this before I knew my family was going to be here, but I cannot choose my family. They're here this morning. I can't change my parents. Even if I wanted to, I don't want to. Even if I wanted to, I can't change that. You can't change the body of Christ. If there are people or people groups that you don't like, you better get used to it if you love Jesus. Because every single people group is going to be represented for all eternity. If you don't like that kind of diversity, if you're like, I just better be by myself and people like me, heaven's going to be a real lonely place. It's not going to work out for you. This is the body of Christ. And there's this thing, right? How strange a body would it be if there was only one part? This is such a challenging statement to the American church, historically and presently. Right? If we're saying that this is not just spiritual gifts that he's talking about as members of the body, but also racial and ethnic diversity and socioeconomic diversity, how strange it is that if we look across the landscape of the American church, we are more divided over issues of politics, economics, and race than we are united around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord and Paul would look at that and say, that's strange. That's a body with all ears. That's strange. That's a body with all eyes. Friends, this is a challenge to us. Now, I understand that there are deep historical reasons for those things. That's why this whole thing that we're trying to do in planting a multi-ethnic church in Muncie is really hard. But if Jesus spilled his blood for it, why do we think that would be easy? Why do we think that that would be easy and just comfortable? Jesus spilled his very blood to buy this thing that we're trying to do. That's why we do it. I pray that City Hope would look strange across the landscape of America and not strange to the Lord. This is what we must be. We must not exclude one another, but we must move beyond not excluding one another to actually welcoming one another. Our final point, we must reconcile people to one another in the body. Friends, as we talked about last week, we must, our job is to reconcile people to God, right? Our job is to reconcile people to God. But if we do that and that only, we have not finished our mission. They must also be connected to this body. If we baptize 3,000 people and no one joins the church, we probably did something wrong. Because reconciling people to God inherently reconciles them to one another. That's what it does. So we ought to know that. God is not just saving a people individually with a ticket to heaven. He is rescuing a people. Jesus died for a people, for his bride. Friends, that's why membership at a local church is really important. It's something we're going to be rolling out over the next few weeks here. As I say that, that's like a reminder that I got to figure those things out. We're going to be rolling out, what does it look like to be a member of City Hope? But that's why it's really important, because you need to be held accountable to one another, to love one another, and to serve one another, and to be a part of a body. That's what that means. So we got to figure that out together. It's really important. So how do we live this out? What does this mean? Well, verse 25 shows us a little bit of the way. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. Another translation talks about caring for each other equally. Caring for each other equally. And it actually uses a word. This word care actually means worry or anxiety. Worry. Every time I looked at this word in the Greek and looked at it in every other passage in Scripture, it's always connected to a negative example. Like, don't be anxious, right? but be prayerful. Don't be worrying, but be prayerful. All of these things. Man, I'm really struggling with this. But I think Paul uses that intentionally because we naturally worry and are anxious for the things that concern us. It is unnatural to our fallen state to be that way about others. So if you want to think about how to care for one another in the body effectively, think about what it feels like to be anxious about something, then translate that to everyone else in this room. And care for others in that way. Right? Concern yourself for their well-being the same as you would concern yourself for your well-being. Now, you might say, that's impossible, because who would care for me then? The other people who are doing that for you. That's what this looks like when we care for one another intentionally. And caring for one another equally, for all members equally. Friends, here's the thing. I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I will not care for all of you equally because I'm a sinner. And I will need to repent. So if you don't feel cared for by this church, please tell me. I'm going to mess stuff up. As we figure out what this looks like for us to be a multi-ethnic body, right? I'm a white dude, right? Newsflash, in case you didn't know, right? I'm going to think through things with my own cultural lens. I need other people in the body who see things differently than me to alert me to things, right? I grew up with a certain amount of money, have a certain amount of money, all those things. I need your help in understanding how do I connect with people who are different than me. We all need that, right? So it's not, I don't take that as like criticism being critical and like tearing me down. Please don't do that. But what I need is your help. I need to connect with people. And I need you to tell me if you're not being cared for. And I pray and I hope that we would all take this attitude so that City Hope would never be a place where the biggest donor to our church is treated differently than the person who just walked in. Where the person who looks like me is treated differently than the person who doesn't look like me. This is what Paul's talking about. Equal care and concern for each other. This is what it means for us. Friends, this affects so many things. This affects the way that we, the way that we are concerned for things affects the way that we vote. Do the things I vote for affect other brothers and sisters in Christ and not just me? Like if my voting is only determined by what affects me, then I'm probably sinning. If that's my justification for a vote. I've got to be concerned for all brothers and sisters in Christ. How does this affect other people? Well, I don't know how it affects them. Go ask them. That's how we know how it affects them. Go ask them. This affects the way I spend my money, the way I engage in my community, what I speak up about, the way I spend my time, the way I love in this place with these people. When conflict arises, what do I do? Do I run away or do I stay and engage? When things get hard, this affects the way I eat meals, the way I enjoy my hobbies. All of these things are affected by my desire to create a body in which we are reconciled to one another. The way I serve in this place with these people. And finally, it affects the way we think intentionally about doing all of those things across all divisions. Gender divisions, racial divisions, political divisions, economic divisions. We ought to be a place in which we can have very different opinions and united together around the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is the body of Christ. And Jesus spilled his blood for his bride. Let's pray together. Father God, we know that this task, we are not equipped for this task. We can't do it. We simply cannot. You must be a part of this body. You must be the one who is fueling and animating our movements together. You must be the one leading, as you are the head of this body, your bride. God, I pray that you would be gracious to us, that you would work powerfully, that you would create this body to be a people who loves you and loves one another. Lord Jesus, would you do this to display your manifold and rich, variedied wisdom? Lord, would you do that? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to stand and respond in worship.